At the Iowa Farm Bureau Economic Summit in Ames, we're going to talk with Elwin Taylor, who is Iowa State University Extension climatologist. And Elwin will be on the program here on Tuesday. Elwin, as we talk here on Monday, another hot day, record temperatures being predicted here, 105 or so, and probably hundreds the next couple of days. This is a full-scale drought, isn't it?
It is indeed. And concern, you know, all the way from Texas to Canada. Well, the concern on the Canadian border is too much water, but the drought ends about time you get into the Dakotas and northern Minnesota, and there they've got excess water. Well, that's not a surprise when we just came out of the second strongest La Nina, in modern history at least, since we've been keeping good records. So that's a condition that we've been experiencing.
Well, as far as the scope of this drought, and you were talking about how widespread it is, and I heard this morning on the radio, they're starting to compare it now to 1955.
Well, yes, and that would be the real good comparison, because the mid-50s was the strongest La Nina in history. You probably remember a year ago at Christmas, the worldwide news about the worst drought in 50 years in Australia. Mm-hmm. And the news people didn't pick up on that and say, well, when was the one that was worse? And if that would be 55 years ago or whatever it was. Anyway, it was the mid-50s, and it was the strongest La Nina. Same things happening, same places in Australia, same relative week of the year in Alabama, in Iowa, all throughout the Midwest. Last year, it was a very easy year to forecast, because it did just what it did in the 50s, on the same week, in the same places, as far as agricultural weather goes, and some of the disastrous weather as well. Well, that weakened, much as it did back then. But much as it did then, its effects haven't gone away yet. We're still seeing them. The ocean is beginning to look like we're in an El Nino instead of a La Nina. It should be the opposite, but the worldwide weather corrections haven't occurred to follow the friend of the Midwest farmer, the El Nino. It's still more related to La Nina, though it's officially in neutral condition right now. We don't expect it to stay there. We expect a better year next year with an El Nino, but in the meantime, we've still got a drought.
Well, you do hear a lot of speculation, everything from, well, it's going to start raining next month to, you know, this thing could last another 18 months, but any way of predicting that?
Well, the only prediction we've got is when we switch to the El Nino, the extremes go away. The extremes of high temperature, they're not so much higher than usual. The extremes of low temperature, they're not so much lower than usual, that mostly being in the winter. And the rainfall being closer to normal as well. We anticipate that by the time we get into October, we will be in those conditions, and that should give us a more favorable outlook for the next year. Although lots of people have been asking me, they said a lot of times these droughts, if we look back in history, came in pairs, but not necessarily adjacent years, maybe skip a year in between, like 1936 followed 1934. And 33 were bad years, depending on the part of the country you were in. But sort of skip a year in the middle, and this wouldn't surprise us at all.
So we're going to be in one of those situations where we're probably hoping for quite a bit of snow this winter?
Well, we would hope for good snow, good recharge of the subsoil moisture, which didn't happen this past year. It was on this same one week ago about a year and a week ago, that the stress began last year that cut the yield for Iowa and for the nation by at least 8%. Well, that 8% cut in the yield came along when the temperatures went much higher than usual, and the precipitation essentially stopped in the Corn Belt. Well, we're following the same pattern this year, plus we started off with high temperatures and low moisture because last year used up the moisture, and it never did replenish everywhere, at least in the Corn Belt, in the subsoil. So we started off with out that buffer in the soil, And so the stress was there. Let's say we've already lost 8 to 10% of the crop in the Corn Belt. And now with weather being similar to what it was last year, we'll lose at least another 8%. Well, that's 16 to 20% of the crop lost. And that's probably a reasonable estimate.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. Is I know you keep a close watch on the impact that the weather is having on the crops, and so you're thinking, what, 15 to 20% at this point?
Yeah, that's the way it looks at the moment. And so already the USDA estimate has us down at the drought level, the legal drought level. We're a strange country. We have a legal drought level, which is determined by crop insurance and emergency services from the government for agriculture, which is at 10% below the trend cut in yield. And then automatically things go into place to give us aid if we need the aid from the federal government. And so they already estimated the yield right at that level. That level would be for the nation's corn at 144 bushels to the acre. And everyone looking at it says, yes, that was the level assuming normal weather from the day they made that estimate. It's lower than that now, and next estimate will, of course, be down. And it will assume normal weather from that day till the end and will still probably be worse than usual and will clearly be in the drought region of the risk that we see of agricultural production.
Well, it's just been a different year all around, hasn't it? I mean, with the mild winter we had, the very mild, hot spring, and a lot of early planting went on. So are we looking at a permanent change in the way things are going to happen here?
This is a very legitimate question. Is this a permanent change? Is it the climate has now shifted to be in this mode, or is it not? Looking back at history, you would say, no, probably not a permanent change. How long is it going to stay with us doing this kind of thing? 25 years. Because we've seen 19 years now of very consistent yields. Yes, there's been some bad places, and even a state or two's had a bad year. But overall, for the Corn Belt, it's been quite consistent for 19 years. Previous 25 had high volatility of yields. The 19 before that were very consistent through the 60s and up through 73. The 25 before that were highly volatile. The 19 before that were consistent. Well, we've been through that four times. Being through something four times isn't enough to say that's what it does, but it's enough to get suspicious.